Next up is item 880, Carla.
Update the City of Portland Sustainable Procurement Policy.
Colleagues, the city spends a lot of money, over $350 million in contracted services just over the last fiscal year. That spending obviously has significant impacts, not just to our budgets and not just locally. Whether we're talking about global warming or conflict minerals in our supply chain, sustainable procurement is about understanding and taking responsibility for the impacts of our consumption of goods and services. What kind of market signal are we sending? What kind of market signal we are sending reflects the city's values: integrity, equality, environmental stewardship, diversity, innovation, and quality. Sustainable procurement is about using our purchasing power to transform markets for the better. The Sustainable Procurement Program has historically focused on integrating sustainability-related requirements into citywide price agreements, such as furniture, cleaning products, apparel, lumber, office supplies, and other items. The program went through a strategic planning process in 2017-18, and as a result is implementing new programming, starting with the update to the Sustainable Procurement Policy as the foundation. Here to present on the policy is Sustainable Procurement Coordinator Stacy Foreman. Stacy, come on up. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for that introduction. Good morning.
Thank you.
Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners, I'm Lester Spittler, the Chief Procurement Officer. I'm here to introduce our Sustainable Procurement Coordinator, which you
Thank
just
you.
Did.
And I apologize, I didn't have you on my notes.
No worries.
So I apologize for overlooking
Guest appearance.
That. Thank you.
So I just want to remind everyone, this is an OMF procurement policy because we are a centralized procurement shop in the city, so we support all of the bureaus and all of their procurement contracting activity. The city is really fortunate to have an asset like Stacy. She's dedicated her professional career to advancing this work for the city of Portland, and she's responsible for the city being recognized and acknowledged nationally and internationally by organizations such as the World Bank, the Urban Sustainability Directors Network, and the Sustainable Purchasing Leadership Council. So with that, I'll turn it over to Stacy to present on the new policy.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler.
Good morning.
Commissioner Udaly, Commissioner Fritz, Fish just stepped out, but thank you for your time today. As mentioned already, my name is Stacy Foreman. I serve as the Sustainable Procurement Coordinator in OMF Procurement Services, and I'm here today to provide a brief overview of this update to the city's sustainable procurement policy. So as Mayor Wheeler already mentioned, the city does spend a lot of money. In this slide, you'll see that there is an official definition for sustainable procurement established by the International Standards Organization just last year in their publication of 2400, the Sustainable Procurement Guidance. However, how I like to think about it is very similar to what Mayor Wheeler said earlier, is that spend has definite impacts, whether we're looking upstream or downstream. And those impacts are quite complex. They cover many different issue areas, whether we're talking about resource extraction or the rights of workers throughout our supply chain. And so what sustainable procurement is about is really trying to understand those impacts and see those opportunities for using our purchasing power to transform markets for the better. So just a quick history lesson here. The sustainable procurement work at the city really began in 2002. However, the sustainable procurement policy as we know it today was established in 2008. There were a few minor updates done in 2010. However, this is really the first big revision of that 2008 policy. As mentioned by Lester earlier, it has historically been viewed as a leadership policy by our peers, both nationally and internationally. And we've had a number of successes with this policy so far. Many of our citywide price agreements are featuring energy-efficient products, less toxic products, products that are disclosing where they're made in factories overseas, all sorts of different features, one of which I would like to call out in particular is our recent furniture solicitation, where we worked with OMF Facility Services to ensure that the furniture on the solicitation would have many low toxic qualities to it. So, for example, it has to meet certifications around indoor air quality so that it's not detrimental to our employees' health when they're in there using that furniture. It also required that certain chemicals were not in the furniture, such as formaldehyde, which is a known carcinogen, and certain flame retardants, which are known neurotoxins. And this not only benefits our employees, but also everyone who in that supply chain, because those harmful chemicals aren't there. So either in the supply chain or downstream when we're done with those products. We also use that solicitation to evaluate what the suppliers are doing in terms of corporate responsibility. The manufacturer that is the primary manufacturer on the resulting contract is Steelcase, and they are signatory to the UN Global Compact, which is a commitment by signatories to align strategies and operations with universal principles on human rights, labor, environment, anti-corruption, and take actions that advance societal goals. And so I just want to highlight how one solicitation is trying to cover many different issues and using that purchasing power to transform things for the better. So why are we updating now? Obviously, it's been 10 years. The 2008 policy got us a long ways. A lot has actually changed in the last 4 years. I mentioned already that the international community came together and defined sustainable procurement through ISO 2400. But there's also an uptake in terms of a network of community through Sustainable Purchasing Leadership Council and others. There's also advances in expectations around sustainable procurement, and I think you'll hear from some folks testifying today around those expectations. And so there is a need to reflect those expectations and incorporate them into an updated policy. We also heard from our internal stakeholders, the bureaus that we serve as a central procurement office, to consolidate the proliferation of procurement-related sustainability policies. We have several topic-specific, very single-issue-specific sustainable procurement-related policies on the books, and this policy attempts to fold those into one policy. So that it's easy for employees to identify where to look for those mandates and those action items and those expectations. So even though we are consolidating these policies, we are not losing sight of those mandates that were contained in those policies. We are putting them under a section in the policy called best practices, something that we consider how we do business here at the city. We are also establishing in this new update, as I referred to earlier, action items around more complex issues. These are issues that we believe will take a little more time for us to kind of figure out and pilot test. And these are ones that are particularly housed in our supply chain, where it's a little more complex to dive deep down into there and figure out how we can do a better job and use that purchasing influence. I believe this also reestablishes our policy as a leadership policy. I know that it received hundreds of views as in draft form from peers around the nation. I think it provides clearer guidance to employees through those best practices sections. It sets better expectations around procurement metrics and reporting and allows for continuous maintenance as this field is rapidly evolving. So what's next? As Mayor Wheeler mentioned earlier, the Sustainable Procurement Program is undergoing strategic planning, the start of which is this policy update. After this update hopefully gets approved today, we will be launching a revamp of our online employee resources, so employees have some tools on hand to help them implement the various best practices and action items in the policy. We are also launching a program communications plan, and we are currently working with a consultant to do a review of available tools that are on the marketplace to help us understand things such as cost-benefit analyses of various action items, or some tools also look at corporate responsibility performance of suppliers. And so right now we're doing that evaluation of various tools to try to figure out, okay, where should we invest first and what tools would be most effective for our stakeholders. Starting tomorrow, we're also participating in the Sustainable Purchasing Leadership Council's benchmark program, and that's pretty much what it sounds like. It's taking a deep dive and looking at our program and benchmarking it against known best practices and how we could become a more strategic and proactive program. And then also, we are looking forward to re-engaging bureaus with targeted high-impact, high-value pilot projects. Many of those are tied to those emerging best practices listed in the policy. So with that, I'm wrapping it up, and we'll take any sort of questions.
Good. Thank you.
All right.
Is there a public testimony on this item, Carla?
Mayor, I have a couple.
Commissioner Udaly.
Yeah.
Did you have questions of the staff?
I don't have questions, but thank you very much, and thanks for your hard work on this policy. So I have a couple amendments to introduce that were drafted in collaboration with Commissioner Fish, and just really seek to expand a little on the area of labor practices. So amendment number one would add language after the last whereas that states, whereas part of taking responsibility for the full life cycle of impacts and costs of goods and services should include the labor practices of companies that require subcontracting of employees to provide a service the city procures. And amendment number two would add language after the first now, therefore, be it resolved, that states, be it further resolved, that the Office of Management and Finance is directed to work with stakeholder groups, including but not limited to union labor representatives, community member organization representatives, and contracting trade associations to provide recommendations to this policy for contracted services that address corporate responsibility disclosures, scoring for equity and economic sustainability, best practices in labor relations and accountability, compliance, and monitoring. These policy recommendations will come back to City Council no later than 90 days from the passage of this resolution.
Mayor, I'll second both for purposes of discussion.
We have motions from Commissioner Udaly. We'll call it Udaly 1 and Udaly 2. We have seconds on both Udaly 1 and 2 from Commissioner
Fish. Mayor, do you
have
an amendment?
I do not have an amendment.
Okay.
So does anyone have any questions about my...
I just have a comment.
Ted, No, he has this one, but I was just curious, does the mayor have an amendment? The answer is no.
No, I have no proposed amendments.
Do you want me to give a
justification? No, I think they're self-explanatory. Okay. I just wanted to, number one, say I support these. I think they're good amendments and appropriate amendments. I just had a clarifying question, which is, as you know, the staff, procurement staff, and others have been working on this policy for the better part of a year. And some of these questions are particularly important and thorny questions. Number one, is 90 days sufficient? And number two, I'm curious to know, is it the intention that your office and or Commissioner Fish's office will work with this group to ensure that the conversation moves forward so that there are recommendations that come back to the council?
I'm certainly very open to that. I'm also open to expanding the time frame. Do we want to bring staff back up to discuss that briefly?
Sure.
Yeah, I think it actually makes sense, Mayor and Commissioner Udaly, to think about extending the 90-day clock a little bit. And one of the reasons is, as soon as we come back, you know, from right after Labor Day, you know, we start going into the budget season, and we have a lot of things that are on our agenda, and we want to get this right. And the mayor is correct that this is pretty complicated stuff, and there's a lot of consultation that needs to be done. So I'd certainly be open to extending that clock.
And to be clear, we're just asking the office to consider these recommendations and give us their feedback on them. There's no requirement that come with them. But personally, I do feel very strongly that when we talk about sustainability, we have to talk about labor practices and subcontracting.
I should have asked staff before I asked if 90 days was sufficient. Is there a specific time line that we're up against? Is there a reason why you picked 90 days?
Well, originally it was 60, so we gave ourselves an extra 30 days.
So you've already given, and so you believe 90 days is sufficient.
If you're willing to give us more, I think we were just responding to the 60 and saying 90 would be nice. But
well, we can always extend it, I suppose, later if that's necessary. So maybe, and I hate to think on the fly, and I apologize for doing it, but maybe we should just stick to the 90 days and see how we are at approximately day 70. And if we need to extend it, the council can always do it.
Okay. Yeah, and let me just note that the way it's currently written, it comes back to council within 90 days. So that requires not only that the work product be complete,
that's good,
but something be filed. So Commissioner Daly, perhaps we could just add a qualifier in there that allows this to be extended up to a reasonable period of time in order to complete the work.
Sure.
And just have that as the understanding of the council.
In fact, I might suggest it might be better to just say till the end of the year. I mean, I think deadlines are helpful, other than watching them go whooshing by, as was written by a famous person. I do think that it encourages people to try to get to something rather than if you say it could be extended, that doesn't hold anybody to.
I'll stick with the original resolution as drafted. You guys came in here with something in mind, and I've mucked it up by thinking aloud. I should never do that. So we'll just stick with it. So we have two motions, 2 seconds. Why don't we go ahead and open it up for public testimony, and people should also comment on the amendments if they feel so inclined, and then we'll wrap it up at the end.
Okay. We have 6 people signed up. The first 3 are Amanda Ulrich, Paul Vanderford, and Felisa Hagen.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Amanda Ulrich, and I am speaking specifically to the conflict mineral piece, which was Resolution 37150, and been working with the city on this since 2012, and then it was passed in 2015. Commissioner Fritz was the first commissioner we reached out to. Myself and the group of folks I work with have been meeting with all of your offices over the past couple of months, not only about the new sustainable policy, but also looking forward to the city's 2019 legislative agenda and looking at a statewide procurement policy. And we're very excited about the new procurement policy. Not only is it more robust for all of the considerations that the city makes with all of their purchases, but in terms of our piece, when you look on page 4 of the new resolution, the compliance piece has shifted from relying on federal legislation to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which is an international organization that sets standards that companies are already following. And so it makes the city's sustainable practices more robust insofar as they're relying on international standards for compliance and not just federal legislation, which at any time can be removed. And it also couples nicely with the overall state procurement policy, which has bipartisan sponsorship, and a bill is being drafted right now. So I am here just to speak to our support for the entire policy and specifically this piece.
Very good. Thank you for coming. Commissioner Fritz.
Ms. Ulrich, I didn't know about this issue before you brought it to me in my second term. Since you are on television being watched by tens of thousands of people, would you like to do 1 minute on what are conflict minerals and why do we care?
Sure. And then Eugene, who is here, is going to be speaking at the end, and he is from the region, from Eastern Congo. So conflict minerals, there's 3 minerals, tin, tungsten, and tantalum, and gold, a majority of them are sourced from Eastern Congo, which is the size of the Mississippi River to the eastern seaboard. And for nearly 20 years, it has been a source of conflict fighting for control of these minerals that has led to a death toll higher than that of World War II. So on our end, we are consumers that benefit directly from these minerals, and we have a connection to those that live on the ground there that have been living in circumstances that are horrible. 1 in 10 people in the world that are displaced are from Eastern Congo. So the city of Portland is a leader on this issue, and even though the city of Portland at the time it passed was the 4th or 5th city to pass such a resolution, the city of Portland was the first city to pass a resolution that was actually implementing the procurement policy. So since all of this type of work has started in this country in 2010, we have seen that 79% of the 3T mines are now conflict-free.
And my understanding is that these minerals are used in computers in particular, and you went on to get Intel to... avoid using them. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, what?
You got Intel to agree to not use conflict minerals?
Well, Intel, there was grassroots pressure put on Intel to offer a supply chain that was conflict-free, and then their CEO at the time embraced that and totally took off, and Intel's entire product line is now conflict mineral-free.
Hmm. And now we're trying to pass it at the state level, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much for your work.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity to be here to speak. My name is Paul Vanderford. I'm the Green Markets Program Director at Sustainable Northwest. We're a small nonprofit based here in Oregon. We generally identify and build solutions for economic, environmental, and kind of social middle ground. I personally spend my days providing technical assistance to small wood products businesses across the state who have sold $75 million in certified wood, responsibly sourced wood, and employ 1,200 people in this region. I'm here to support the sustainable procurement policy as well. I feel like it puts the city in a strong leadership position on these issues as we advance carbon, equity, and worker safety. Given that 48% of the land in Oregon is forested, you know, we just talked about conflict minerals. That's critical. We have to get that right. You know, we're talking about forests in our own state, and when we are buying materials that are coming from forests that are in our state, we're impacting the communities in those locations. You know, for example, we're experiencing fire right now, and one of the things that procuring responsibly sourced wood can do is help remove, in a responsible way, fuel loads and reduce fire risk, which will help with air quality and in multiple ways get at social impacts as well as environmental impacts. Ecotrust just came out with a study that shows that wood sourced from FSC certified sources and other ecologically responsible forests deliver 20 to 40% more carbon value. So if we have carbon goals, this procurement policy helps us in very direct ways drive at that. We also see many communities in Portland or Oregon outside of Portland. We have the Bull Run, and we see that as sacred. A lot of communities source drinking water from forests that are actively being managed. Rockaway on the coast and many other coastal communities are going as far as trying to buy their own forests to protect their drinking water. And until that happens, our procurement strategy can help deliver value to them in terms of fewer toxic aerial sprays of herbicides and in other ways dealing with safety of their water systems. And then last, I'll touch on that the EPA just recently came out with a study showing that forest age, which is beneficially impacted by ecological forestry, is going to deliver twice as much in-stream flow in many instances, which directly impact salmon and other critical species at kind of water-critical months in the summertime like we're experiencing now. So we have this particular procurement under our carbon goals, but in many ways, wood procurement is going to actually touch on our goals as we deal with equity in communities, drinking water safety. And so this sets a very good foundation. I would like to say that we need to deal with impact and monitoring and ensuring that the bureaus are going to be measuring and setting goals for themselves. And Sustainable Northwest would certainly love to be part of that process as we move forward. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony.
The next three are Felisa Hagen, Tammy Cataby, and Mark Jeffries.
Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us. Mayor, Commissioners, for the record, my name is Felisa Higgins. I'm the political director at SEIU Local 49. I'd like to talk a little bit in detail about the sustainability policy and the amendment that was offered by Commissioner Hugh Daly and seconded by Commissioner Fish. But first, I'd actually want to start always with the workers that we represent. And surprise, surprise, we're here to talk about workers' wages, benefits, and working conditions. So maybe we could start with Tammy.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. My name is Tammy Cataby, and I'm a member of the SEIU 49. I have worked for Aramark for over 26 years, and I am proud to be a part of the team of workers that provide the City of Portland with this laundry service. I have served on the bargaining team of my contract, and I am a current shop steward at my work site on Airport Way. I'm here today to ask that the city make sure its policies are strong enough to protect working families. The city gets a lot of benefits from using a union laundry service. My coworkers and I have good training, and the protection from our union could contribute to lower turnovers. Over the years, I have seen many benefits from fighting alongside my coworkers for our rights. Our wages go up every year, and we have affordable benefits. Thanks for our union contract, my coworkers and I earn at least $14.70 an hour, much more than the current minimum wage of $12 an hour. But even with our union wages and benefits, it's getting harder and harder for my coworkers and I to make ends meet. We worry about what happens to us and to our families if we didn't have our jobs or our union. We need a city that is fair for everyone, not just for the rich. My coworkers and I fought hard to raise standards in the laundry industries, and we look to the city council to use the power to help us build a city where good jobs that provide adequate wages and benefits are supported and protected. The city could use its own policies to make a better place for all of us by insisting that even the city contracted and subcontracted workers have good jobs. Portland should not just be for rich people. I am asking on behalf of working families throughout Portland that the city of Portland make its policies stronger to make sure that you are protecting working families. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your being here. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Mark Jeffries, and I'm an executive board member of the Service Employees International Union, Local 49. I am proud to be a part of a team of janitors that work here at Portland City Hall. I am here today on behalf of my fellow union janitors and the over 14,000 members of SEIU Local 49 to talk to you about supporting a sustainable procurement policy that takes into account people like us. As union janitors, we get annual wage increases, have access to affordable quality health care, and have a voice on the job. I hear you have conversations about procurement of services and how much the contracts cost, but what you are really deciding is what our wages and our benefits will be. I take a lot of pride in my work and being an active member of my union, and I believe that we can work together to create a city that is not just for rich people, and I believe in your leadership to help do that for working families. In conclusion, I am asking that the City of Portland make its procurement policy stronger to make sure that you are protecting our working families. Thank you.
Thank you
for your time.
Appreciate your testimony, all three of you. Thank you.
So, thank you. I think it's really important that when we're talking about procurement and the changes that we'd like to see to the policy and the changes that Commissioner Udaly is introducing in her amendment, that we really are talking about working families. The city has been a key leader when it comes to one part of sustainability, which is the sustainability of our environment, and that's a critical issue for working families. But right now, we all know that working families in the city of Portland are struggling to have affordable housing, to make ends meet, their health care benefits are under attack, and they're being attacked at the national level when it comes to their rights to collectively bargain and form a union at their job. We're seeing those things erode. I think what we're asking, what we're hoping that folks will support Commissioner Udaly's amendment to move forward is to work with the procurement office and continue that work with the procurement office in a timely manner to address these issues. The discussion about the 90 or 60 days, we've been involved for a year and a half in working to update this policy. So you can understand our sense of urgency when you're updating contracts roughly every 3 months that impact these workers. And that doesn't include the other contracts that are going out to bid right now, where the city will be deciding whether they're going to choose a union contractor who has health care benefits that the workers can afford, a contractor that allows those workers to have collective bargaining rights, that doesn't fight the union, and allows workers to decide for themselves if they're going to be union or not. At the same time, we're waiting to update a policy. So our hope is that we can work forward and procurement can get the resources that they need to move forward in a really timely manner. Stacy has been incredible at taking feedback and moving this policy forward and leading in a very productive way and listening to stakeholders. I think she understands the full scope of what sustainability really means and is ready to help move that forward. I think for the procurement office, there is this tension around more time and resources versus and I know my button's up, but more time and resources, but also the decisions that are coming forward. So we encourage you to move more swiftly with Commissioner Udaly's amendment that addressed labor issues.
Good. Well, I went through the whole circle of time frames and landed right back where she started, which I should have stuck with in the beginning. Thank you, all three of you, for your testimony. We appreciate you.
And thank you for your service to our city. Thanks for joining us today.
Carla, is that the...
We have one more person.
One more person. Very good.
Eugene Serdoki, I believe, is the last name.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Honorable Mayor and Commissioner, my name is Eugene Sadiki, leader of the Congolese community here in the state of Oregon. Thank you for this opportunity to be among you, policymakers and leaders of this city. And thanks to your willingness to stand as pioneer, looking to take action in fighting for a transparent supply chain with regard to conflict minerals in the world, especially for the 3TG, tin, tantalum, tungsten, and gold. Many thanks to the organization like Amnesty International, Enough Project, Never Again Coalition, and Oregon Coalition for Humanity, which have been advocating for our people by pushing legislators, leaders, and other key stakeholders to work on procurement bills at the local, state, federal, and even international level. The Democratic Republic of the Congo, the DRC, my country of origin, has been the battlefield of negative armed forces funded by corporations spoiling minerals resources for more than two decades now. This is the richest country in the world in terms of natural resource, but never be in peace, and people are crippled in extreme poverty. The DRC itself produces more than 60% of the coltan in the world. This coltan is the one of minerals that make up the treaties used in our computers, TVs, cell phones, tablets, and chips making sounds in our buses and trains. I'm here before you as a victim and witness for war of all its messes. The war broke out in my hometown and killers invaded the rest of the country, killing innocent people with no mercy. Myself was shot in the chest, and a few years later, by God's grace, I escaped again the death twice. For instance, I was to choose between my life and my $12,000 cash in investment when two knives were held on my neck by a foreign soldier and a vendor. Another time in a small city, my 500 kg of cotton were taken by force with no reason. People in DRC are being killed, raped, tortured, mutilated every day, especially in the villages where minerals are extracted. You heard about two UN workers killed. Since September 22, 1996, the estimated death toll is more than 6 million. I beg you as government consumer to listen to the organization named above and join the effort to fight the conflict-free mineral in order to bring peace in DRC and elsewhere by passing this sustainable procurement policy before you today. Thank you.
I want to thank you for your testimony, and it's your leadership that's put this front and center, and others who have the lived experience that you do who have brought this important attention to us, and so we're proud to work with you and lead with you on this important issue. Your story is a very moving one, and it's an important one, and I'm glad that you were here to share it with the people of this city because they need to hear it. Thank you.
Thank you.
So are we now going to vote on the amendments?
Let's take a vote on Udaly. Is there anything else before we go? And Carla, that was the last testimony?
Correct.
So first up is Udaly number one. Is there any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Udaly.
So I'd just like to quickly give credit where credit's due, which is to SEIU for bringing these concerns with us around the language and the policy update, not giving explicit direction to staff on how to evaluate contract awards for services that require subcontracting of employees. I obviously vote aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment's adopted. Udaly number 2, any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Great. I especially like the 90-day time frame. I vote aye. The amendment's adopted. To the main motion, any further discussion on the main motion as amended? Please call the roll.
Udaly.
Well, thank you to Stacy and the procurement office for all your hard work on this. Thank you to SEIU and Commissioner Fish and staff for helping draft the amendments. I definitely share the sense of urgency that SEIU members expressed today, and I hope that we can stick with that 90-day time frame or even do it sooner. I'm looking forward to working with the stakeholder groups and seeing the recommendations and improving our expectations and requirements of services we purchase with our public dollars. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you very much to staff. Thanks to former Chief Procurement Officer Christine Moody, who really grasped the conflict minerals challenge and has pushed that forward. It's important that we spend the public's money in ways that benefit the public and that make a real difference, both in the supply end as well as in the what we actually do with that money and those services. So thank you very much. Aye.
Fish.
I want to thank Commissioner Daly for taking the lead on the amendments. Mayor, I want to thank you and procurement for all the work that's gone on behind the scenes. This is a relatively drama-free council session, but a lot of work has gone into bringing us to this point. And I look forward to being part of the conversations to get it right around subcontracting and making sure that we maintain decent standards for people who are performing services indirectly on behalf of the city. Aye.
Wheeler.
I think this is a great step in the road. The city took a leadership role, particularly around environmental procurement practices. I'm very glad that the conflict minerals aspect is being worked into this, and I'm hopeful that the ideas brought forth by SEIU and Commissioner Udaly will also take hold. This is a policy that will continue to evolve over a period of many, many years. But whatever we do, I'm glad that the City of Portland finds itself at the forefront of sustainable procurement practices. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted as amended.